And please turn, if you would, in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34 will be our text this morning. You should be able to find a Bible in front of you in the pew, there in the pocket in front of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I've decided this morning not to bring our 2 Corinthians sermon series into the morning service. But don't worry, we won't be leaving the city of Corinth. We'll just be going back into 1 Corinthians. And in particular, I want to consider the connection of two themes that are quite relevant to us this morning. The first is that of the Lord's Supper. We'll be partaking of the Lord's Supper here later this morning, and it's a great blessing for us. Tied with that, in the adult Bible school class, we've been considering the theme of hospitality. Hospitality, the church's practice of welcoming God's image bearers in love. Welcoming fellow image bearers in the love of Christ. And what I want us to see this morning is to see how these two realities are brought together in the Lord's Supper. Jesus' hospitality meal as He welcomes us in love. So we will read God's Word from 1 Corinthians, but before we read, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your grace to us and Your love in Jesus Christ. We pray as we come to Your Word that You'd be with us in Your strength and Your power by Your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 through 34. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And the same way also He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. This is the Word of God. Well, I want you to imagine an experience. Imagine you're a cripple. You cannot walk. Both of your parents have died, but everyone around you knows that you came from a family of troublemakers. You bear the name of your father, your grandfather. You bear a stigma that you doubt you'll ever lose. You live a life of begging. you feel completely worthless. In fact, you feel so worthless you've given yourself a nickname that you often refer to yourself by: Dead Dog. You live in a land with a king. And one day the king calls you to his palace and says he needs to have a word with you. So you're ushered to his palace and you're brought into his presence by his guards. The whole way there you're fearful. Am I being brought up on charges? Is he settling an old score with my family? And as you're brought into the presence of the king there, he smiles at you and says, I heard about your plight, and I've purposed to ask that you would come and live with me. I want to care for you. And by the way, you look really hungry. I've just prepared to sit down for my evening meal. Won't you come and join me? I wonder what your emotions would be in that moment. I wonder how the first taste of food would land on your growling stomach. Now, many of you realize I didn't really make up that story. King David and crippled Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel chapter 9. The king invites the unwanted son of the enemy into his house. But I also want you to realize this morning. It's not really made up to address that story to you and to me. The particulars of your situation may be a little bit different. You may not be a cripple. You may think of yourself in different ways than Mephibosheth did. But as we would come to the Lord's Supper this morning, you are invited to feast with the King. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the hospitality of King Jesus, welcoming us, unwanted sons and daughters, into his presence, to his meal. And as we receive the hospitality of Jesus Christ, when we comprehend the hospitality of Jesus Christ, we're transformed. And what we'll find is, it's not just that we are transformed, but our lives of hospitality are transformed as well. That's what takes place, or that what is what was to take place in the Corinthian community. And in this text this morning, we will see three features of the transforming hospitality of Jesus Christ. Three features of the transforming hospitality of Jesus Christ. And the first is this: Jesus' hospitality confronts a hospitality problem. The hospitality of Jesus Christ confronts a hospitality problem, a problem really found in verses 17 through 22. Many of you know that 1 Corinthians 11 is a place you go to for Lord's Supper theology. I am not the first pastor on the day of partaking the Lord's Supper to say, please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But do you realize this? The Lord's Supper here, Jesus' hospitality meal here, is the answer to a hospitality problem going on in Corinth. Well, what is that problem? How do we see that problem? The Corinthian church was full of inhospitable people, and as a result was full of unwelcomed people. Inhospitable people and unwelcomed people. See that verse 18. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. What kind of divisions? Verse 21. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. And on it goes. What's going on here? Paul is speaking, it seems here, to a historic practice in the church known as love feasts. Love feasts, fellowship that would take place in the body of Christ, not quite a one-to-one with fellowship luncheons, but in that kind of category of thinking, fellowshipping together, dinners, meals that would take place among the church. And think about how pivotal this would be in the life of the church. People coming out of paganism, all kinds of backgrounds, leaving the world, and they come to the church and they have a people to eat together with. Wouldn't matter if you were male, female, young, poor, old, whatever. There was a place for you to feast with the people of God. And this would become the ultimate hospitality practice of the church. People coming together to eat together. But in Corinth, it wasn't a practice of hospitality. It was a practice of inhospitality. Those with food, the rich, would eat. They'd eat their food in front of everyone, their filet mignon, as good as it gets. The poor would come, couldn't even afford to bring anything to the meal, and they'd walk away with nothing. The people would be humiliated. You come to a meal, just imagine what it'd be like. You come to a meal, you're told, this is a place where you eat together. You come to a meal, you're starving, you're surrounded by people who are eating. You couldn't afford to bring a thing, and you walk away hungry. And when that simple practice of a meal, these people were told, you know, you really aren't quite welcome in the church of Jesus Christ. You just aren't that welcome if you can't bring food to the meal. You can watch me eat if you want to, but you're not welcome to eat yourself. The church of hospitality became a church of inhospitality. And it became a church with these two groups of people. The inhospitable and the unwelcomed. And before we think about Jesus' answer here, we see Jesus' answer, but before we think about it, we need to recognize that the inhospitality temptation confronts the church in every age. Just one example of this in the United States. Have you ever wondered why is there a black church? Why do people talk about the African-American church in the United States? So often the reason for this is because after slaves were freed, they were told they weren't welcome to come into white churches. So they came, went, and they formed their own. You have inhospitable people and unwelcomed people. This is the experience of the history of the church. And then we've got to ask the questions ourselves. What actions or behaviors or questions or comments do we make that function like Corinthian love feast practices? What comments would we give? You may never have kicked someone out of a fellowship luncheon. I hope you haven't. But there are other ways that we ask the question, that we make the comment, that we give the greeting that says, you know, this isn't quite a place that you'd be welcome. And the beauty of the passage is Paul comes to this situation. He comes to this issue. And he says, there is a meal. There's a meal offered in Christ that brings a simultaneous answer to the inhospitable and the unwelcomed. And it's that situation that leads to Paul's story here. A true story, the story that's passed down from one generation to another. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And on it goes. Why does that story address the issue of inhospitality and address the issue of unwelcomed people? Well, just think about how that story emerges in the Gospels. Jesus, he comes, and what's the Pharisees' constant accusation? He eats with tax collectors and sinners. He's a glutton. Look whose house he's going to now. Jesus comes to the unwelcomed. He comes to those who the Pharisees would have said, this is not the group that we would eat with. And Jesus comes and stretches out his arms to the unwelcomed. But it's not just the unwelcomed he comes to. He comes to the inhospitable. The story right before the Lord's Supper, you find it in Matthew, you find it in Mark. Jesus is at the house of the leper. A woman comes and pours the oil on him. The disciples are angry. Get away from Jesus. Stop wasting your time doing this. The practice of inhospitality. And within just a few days, Jesus looks at those disciples with the bread and the cup, and he says, I have desired to eat this meal with you. Jesus comes to the inhospitable, and he says, let me show you the way of Christ. Let me show you the way of welcoming. And he shows it in this meal. And as we look at our lives, and we see inhospitality in us, we need to come to the Lord's Supper all over again. We need to watch Jesus' practice of hospitality to the inhospitable. Or maybe you come, and it's not just the inhospitality you'd be convicted of, it's the practice or the experience of being unwelcomed. You look at your life, you say, I don't know if I quite feel welcomed in Jesus' church. I always feel like I'm a half step on the outside. I'm like a passenger waiting in standby, hoping someone doesn't come onto the plane so I can finally get a ticket and feel welcomed in the church. And Jesus' meal comes to the inhospitable and the unwelcomed. It says, here is the offer of the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus offers a meal. And Jesus' hospitality comes right to the hospitality problem. But it's more than that. That's our first thought. Second, the second feature of Jesus' hospitality is that Jesus' hospitality is a sacramental hospitality. Jesus' hospitality is a sacramental hospitality. Verses 23 through 26. The idea of Jesus' hospitality is not simply the idea that Jesus would have a burger with just about anyone. It's more than that. Jesus' hospitality is sacramental. Sacramental, inviting us to the sacrament. Inviting us to this visible sign of the gospel being communicated to us. That's what's going on. He's inviting us to the sign. And we see it, verse 23, Jesus at this meal, this Passover meal, he begins with a very ordinary act. He takes bread, a type of thing that would be done at Corinthian love feasts over and over again, people grabbing the bread. Jesus gives thanks. Again, an ordinary act pertaining to a meal. And then it's as if he takes the disciples all the way up a high-speed elevator to the top floor. And he says this, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Nobody says that at a second RP fellowship luncheon. Now we're at a different plane here. Now we've been elevated. This is my body, which is for you. And these are controversial words. These are controversial words. I could come out here with stacks of books rising to the height of the podium here, going through all the controversy spilled over. What does it mean, Jesus saying, this is my body? It doesn't need to be controversial to us. We find across Scripture, in the covenants, the Word of God speaking to us metaphorically or covenantally. Just imagine this. Imagine your grandparents bequeathing or giving to you an inheritance of a beach house. And they come to you one day and they've got a jar. And in the jar is full of sand. And on the outside, they've taped a picture of the beach house by the sand. And they say, I want you to put this on your desk and I want you to look at this every day. This is your future. Is it literally your future? No. But this is your future. It represents, in a physical way, all that would be there for your future. And so here's Christ, and he's saying, this is the promise. This is the visible guarantee of all that I offer to you. The bread and the cup, a picture, a tangible deposit of the hospitality of Christ. That's what hospitality is all about. Concrete expressions of love, embodied experience, physical expressions that show forth the love of Christ. Here we have it, the concrete expression that shows the welcoming act of our Savior. The bread, this representation of the body of Christ that went to the cross, that cursed death, there bore the guilt of sin, even the sin of inhospitality. There the cup poured out for those that would feel unwelcomed, those that would be sinners outside, welcomed in by the blood of Christ. And He did hang, that body did hang on the cross. His blood was poured out on the cross. He did rise again. And now we're on the other side of it. And Paul, now looking back, says, we still partake. We still partake of the meal. The hospitable word is this: by the death of Christ, by the sacrificial death, you are welcomed into the presence of God to eat with Him. There's a fascinating story in Scripture, Exodus chapter 24. The covenant is being confirmed with God and His people. Moses pours blood out on the people, and then Moses and Aaron and his sons and 70 others are taken up the mountain, and it says this: they beheld God, and they ate, and they drank. They beheld God, and they ate, and they drank with Him. A remarkable event. It seems a one-time experience, some might say, that would never be repeated. Or would it? Or would it? Jesus, God Himself in the flesh, comes down to the disciples, to the ordinary people of God, so-called, and says, come and behold the living God and eat and drink with Me. And now as Jesus has passed down this event, this experience of the Lord's Supper, and as He meets with us in His presence through His Spirit, we continue to hear the words, come and eat and drink with Me. This is the hospitality, the dinner invitation, the sacramental hospitality of Jesus Christ. And what we need to be clear on is that as we understand this, the hospitality comes through the sacrificial death. The hospitality points to the meaning of the body, the meaning of the blood. This is why the sacrament is for the believing church. Jesus comes to the inhospitable. He comes to the unwelcomed. And He says, this is for those who come to Me, who believe in Me, in My sacrifice. That's why verse 28, we are to examine ourselves. Verse 29, anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment to himself. Discerning the body, understanding, believing what this body and blood represent. This is a meal for those who profess faith and are part of the Church of Christ and are saying, yes, I come to the table by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But for those who do believe, for those who are a part of the church, Jesus' welcoming hospitality becomes this hospitality that we run to, that we long for. Perhaps you can imagine people that you would long to have come over to your house, people you'd long to eat with. I remember my uncle talking about being in a restaurant with Michael Jordan. And this was the story he would tell. Here's what it was like to just be in the same room eating food with this guy, even if he was halfway across the room. And maybe you would have others you'd long to. What would it be like to have that person around my table for just an hour or so? And Jesus is saying to you, I long to eat with you. I want you at my table. It's not even so much us saying, oh, Jesus, we wish that we could be at your table. Jesus comes to the believer and says, I want you at my table. I want you to eat with me. I want you to have this body, to have this blood, these representations. I want you to receive my dinner invitation and be welcomed at my table. And this, friends, becomes a real answer to a real struggle and practical reality that emerges for Christians all the time. Stories are told of some Reformed churches that speak of the Lord's Supper in such a way, such a crushing and bruising way, that it almost seems impossible to come. You have churches that would offer the Lord's Supper. They'd be full rooms like this, and almost no one would partake. But can you imagine if the elders come up here a little bit later from now, bring the elements to you, and they bring all back full plates and full cups because no one would partake, because it just, there's just not, we can't really come into Jesus' presence. And I praise God that's not our experience among us. But maybe even you look at the bulletin and you see that we're practicing the Lord's Supper, and the first experience in your heart is this burden that breaks you down, and you say, oh, I've got to face that issue again. And there may be times when your sin is so crushing, you do need to examine yourself and say, maybe this is a time for me to withhold. But for the one that's in Christ, for the one that's believing this sacrifice of this body and this blood, this is Jesus' dinner invitation. This is Jesus' hospitality saying, come, come, eat this meal. Come and be welcomed. And maybe even you're grieved because the sin for you is inhospitality. And you come to this meal confessing it to the Lord, saying, Lord, that is me. I don't behave like you behave toward me in this meal. Forgive me and let this meal transform me. And that's the promise of Christ. And that really leads to the third feature of this hospitality, is that Jesus' hospitality transforms our hospitality. Jesus' hospitality transforms our hospitality. Remember, Paul is addressing a hospitality problem. And he comes in at this ground level and says, okay, we're going to deal with these feasts and how you behave toward the poor. And then he takes them up the elevator to this high-rise view, says, look at all that's going on here. Look at this sacrament. And the assumption is this. It's going to go right back down to the people that surround you and transform your hospitality toward them, toward the body of Christ. Look at verse 33. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Wait for one another. If you've taken the Lord's Supper, you've probably heard the pastor say this as we pass the elements back. This is not just something for the pastor to say because he needs to say something. It's a profound communication about hospitality among the people of Christ. It's a message about our welcoming of each other. These were not a people that waited for each other. I've got my steak. I'm going to eat it before it gets cold. I'm not too worried about those people behind me in line that have no food to eat. And Paul says, come to the Lord's Supper and eat together. Together. We take the meal, these simple elements of which we all can partake. And it doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter how many meals at St. Elmo's you can afford. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church or whatever other status symbol that you might hold for yourself. You take the meal, and we as a body take it together, and we eat as one. A simple united meal that communicates one to another that this meal wouldn't be the same if the person all the way across the back or all the way toward the front or the person I'm in conflict with or the person I just have never met, it wouldn't be the same if we couldn't eat all together. And we practice hospitality one toward another as we come and feast together. And then that transforms the way that I relate, that you relate to the people around you. Because you may come to that person with whom you're in conflict. You may come to that person you've been a member in the church with for years and just haven't ever met. And you say, you know, we've got a lot of differences, or I've never really met you. But every month we share that meal together, don't we? We have this union in Christ together. And I want to welcome you into my presence. I want to welcome you into my fellowship. I want to be welcomed by you. And we become a body that becomes united around the hospitality of Christ. And our experience is this: we're united to Jesus. So let's welcome one another in Christ as we share the meal. So think about this practically. Even as you take the Lord's Supper this morning, you're surrounded by people that are taking this meal with you. These are the fellow dinner guests at the table of Jesus Christ. Who can you welcome into your life? Who perhaps would God be calling you to show hospitality to welcome as a fellow communer in the body and blood of Christ and your experience together in the church of Christ? And as we think about this, I want to drive toward one extended application. One extended application, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Partaking of the body and blood of Christ by the Spirit is a proclamation of the death of Christ. It's a proclamation of Jesus to each other. And as we participate in this proclamation, it drives our proclamation to the world. We feast together. And our proclamation to the world is this: there is a meal that we long for you to partake of. Come to Christ. We want you to be part of our fellowship. Many of you, if you go to a fine restaurant, the experience isn't complete until you've told people about it. Until you've shared the picture on Instagram, until you've told five or six people at the church about it, you really haven't fully partaken of the meal because you long for others to come and understand part of the experience that you've had. And the Christian says this: I've been invited to the table of Jesus Christ. And the people that are around me, I long for them to come to this table too. You see, we've got something to offer. We offer the gospel. And we offer this. Or we should say it like this: Jesus offers this. At the gospel, or through the gospel, people come to the table. So we go into the world because we long for this room to be full of more and more people receiving the hospitality of Jesus Christ. We, the receivers of the hospitality of Christ, go into the world and live lives of hospitable people through Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your hospitality toward us, that you welcome us. You welcome us in the gospel. You welcome us through the truth of your word. And Lord, we thank you that as a sign and seal of that, you give us this sacrament. Lord, we pray that we would joyfully receive your welcome and that we would live lives that reflect your care, your welcoming of us among each other and to a watching world as well. We pray this in Jesus Christ. Amen.